Good morning. Hope everybody is feeling not too cold like myself. As the presenter said, I'm from Belize, and I will be sharing some interesting work that young people in Belize are doing and hearing the research and the studies that colleagues are sharing with us. It makes me more excited to continue the work we're doing in my small country. Belize is Caribbean country, but we're also considered Central America. This sometimes leads to good and bad. Why? Because we are considered Caribbean. Certain social issues, strategies, we don't get included in the Caribbean because they think we're included in Central America and vice versa. So it can be good and bad because sometimes we do get included in both of the strategies around the region. We are an independent country. We're young. Our independence was in 1981. So we're developing with English speaking, but now recently we're like 50-50. We also speak Spanish in Belize. We're multi-ethnic, multicultural, and we're considered Caribbean. And recently in 2002, we're formally considered part of SICA as well. Our population is very small. It's in the 300s. We're still in the ratio of 1-to-1, but the key thing here is if you notice, 63% are under age 18 and 48 under the age of 19. This means that Belize is pretty young, like we have a young population. So for me, as someone in between, not too young, not too old, this is important for me to actually work, especially towards empowerment of females. Why females? If you take a look at this table here, I kind of set it as a heading, children having children. Because here is the evidence that one out of every three adolescents reported having a child at the age of 18. So that is like, whoa. You know, we're young and these females are reporting, are saying that they already have a child. And if you notice, I kind of divided it by, districts. We only have 6 districts. So we have 3 districts that are very high, which is Belize District, the San Creek, and the Toledo. And if we take a look at this other table, it's the dropouts. If we look, there are the same districts that has a high rate of school dropouts, and this is females dropouts. Usually males are the ones enrolled in school, the ones that are given priority to stay in school. Why? Because in our culture, they think that females are more of a domestic caretaker. You know, you kind of just learn to read, write. Some of us don't even get that far. You just grow up to be a mom, a housewife. So if we compare the graphs, this is really serious in my country because we're small, we're young, and we're a ratio 1-to-1. However, females are more likely to accomplish tertiary level education once they go through, because that's one way for them to get empowered. You know, being a female in Belize and empowered through education, that gives her, gives broader opportunity to do or to fulfill her dreams in the specific professional area, because we still see the glass ceiling effect in Belize. Like, you may have your degree, but yet if there's a male there, the male is preferred. Many factors can contribute to school dropouts, but the results of survey done within remote rural communities showed us that there are 3 major factors, which was the economics, gender equity, and the unintended pregnancy. And under the gender equity, we saw a lot of stigma. So I'm glad to kind of hear your study that you did. So, but one thing happened in Belize. This program called the Youth Leadership Program came to Belize in 2004. And this program is actually a program run by Public Health Institute that we're working in 4 different countries, and we were so lucky that we were part of this regional program. This program empowered young people with the different tools to actually advocate and to be like catalysts for change, specifically in the area of ASRH. So these young people were given trainings to be equipped in proposal writing, fundraising, SRH, which includes, I like to call it sexual health, because SRH is, in Belize, is just considered a reproductive part. So when I say in Belize sexual health, they know that I'm including HIV, unintended pregnancy, family planning, so all of this. So we were kind of empowered and we said, okay, PHI has made this tremendous effort to empower us as Belizeans, what we are going to do. So PHI honestly supported to empowered 36. We have 36 there because we kind of use the model, the regional model, and contextualize it to only Belize, and we since then graduated two other cohorts. So with the two other cohorts graduated, we have 46 trained fellows. So you might say, 46 empowered fellows in Belize, would they make a change? Well, we're on our way in making a change. So those 46 fellows decided, okay, we have been empowered, we have all these trainings, we have advocacy skills now, we need to do something. We're small, we're young, so young people need to take a lead. So we decided that to form an NGO, which is a non-governmental organization. You may say, why? We still work with government, but you know politics is very tricky. And a small program, if we tried, honestly, we tried to kind of have it a branch of the youth department, but because politics and ministries change every time, they we started and then when government changed, we had to start over and all over. And so we said, no, we want to really have an impact regardless of politics, regardless of color. So we decided, okay, we're going to do an NGO. So, and this is our mission. Our mission is to develop youth leaders in sexual and reproductive health and environmental awareness. If you Google Belize, you will see that Belize is very pristine. It's a very beautiful country, so we do have environmental issues. And environment is also tied with tourism, and tourism is tied to population growth, and population growth is tied to HIV. In Belize right now, we have cruise ships coming from all different parts of the world, and our teens, they might do it to help themselves, put them through school. We have the sex trade. So they kind of honestly, they leave high school to go and serve these persons who are paying for sex. So that is an issue. So we said we wanted to empower them as well. This is the first cohort graduated from just the Belize model. And if you see the picture, we're very, very, very mixed. This is 2012. And this is the future graduate, 2013. So my main topic is youth leading youth. They are trained to do follow-up trainings. So we go into rural communities, and in this area, we kind of train them both in ASRH and also HIV prevention. We had a cohort specifically to train young people out of school because it's not the same to train young people who are in school and out of school. We had to adopt the model and really fit it to young people who cannot read. So far, we've trained 1,200 young people in the area of ASRH. When we were first approached by UNDP, they wanted us to do HIV prevention only, but we said we can't. If we really are going to make a change and an impact, we need to have a more holistic approach. We need to include the sexual health that includes all other topics. So we kind of went back to them and told them, look, we want to empower these kids, but this is also an opportunity for us to empower, especially our females, for them to know that they have sexual rights and they have SRH services. So just to conclude here, in the communities, it's very remote, so we have to work along with community health workers. We have to work along with the chairpersons, and we also work along with the football captains. Why the football captains? Young people in the remote villages, they prefer, on Sundays, they will leave any milk cowing. They don't go to milk the cows. They don't go to the fields. They go straight to the football fields. So that's one key area that we use the football captains and tell them, look, we are offering this training for your team, and that's one way we get them, especially the males, because it's harder to get the males. I want to show just a little montage of this video. Hope it shows before my time is up. just to give you like a overview of the recreational day. So this is one day. Okay, we have to be very creative. We are using bananas to demonstrate condom use. And this is kind of just evaluating after they have received their training to see if they've retained the information. And we usually do it within 3 months. And we don't tell them it's an evaluation. They will get nervous and they will like freak out. So through games, we kind of like evaluate. So each station has a game, but they go with questions, specific questions. They have to answer and then progress to the other point. So thank you.